Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise God. Yes, I'm happy to be here. Welcome back from the anniversary. Esther, why are you laughing? You're like crazy and mukwa. When they heard that I was going to preach. Yes, but yes, welcome back from last Sunday. Hasn't God been good, LAT? He has been faithful to us, and he continues to be faithful, and he'll forever be faithful. Yes, my name is Sam, like Christine, my fellow soldier. Yeah, we have been communicating this week. We are fellow ministers of the gospel of the Lord. Yeah, as Christine has introduced me, I'm called Sam. Yes, when I'm not in church, I work as an engineer. Yeah, so Pastor sent me a message on Tuesday. It was about 2:06, 6 minutes past two. I was running late for a 2 o'clock meeting. And he says things, and the message was, I want you to preach on Sunday. Everything I was going to present at that meeting evaporated from the head. And I was like, now, Sunday, chino chichi. When I'm talking to myself, I call myself Samo. I said, Samo, what are we going to do? What are you going to say? But anyway, I went for the meeting. I guess it went well. So I got home. I told Joanna, Mnangi, I've been asked to preach. And I said, yeah. I said, yes. I don't know if there was room to say no. Yeah, but anyway, so I got to sleep, got up, and at the back of my head, I knew what I was going to talk about. There were two topics, but as the night went by, I zeroed down on one. And to give context to what I'm going to talk about, I'll just give a little story about myself. So I got born again in 2002. Yeah, life at that time was tough. Campus was tough. Things were going everywhere. Hadn't I gotten born again, I don't think I would have completed school. Friends of mine who continued on that journey, some of them didn't finish. Yeah, and so anyway, in 2002, in May, it was my first semester, second year. I got born again, and there were a group of friends of mine at the time who were doing engineering. They used to attend Watoto Church, and they were in a fellowship, and they used to call themselves Raiders, the Righteous Army Invading Darkness. And the boys called themselves Men of Integrity, and the girls called themselves Ladies of Virtue. So when I got born again, I was introduced to this group, and I was invited to become part of the Men of Integrity. I don't know if we were men then, but I guess we were boys becoming men soon. We're in the transition. So we were taught about what it means to be a man of integrity. And when I got born again, you know, you'd see many people claiming to be saved, but then you go behind and you're like, but these guys, yeah? You go to the club and they are saved anyway. You don't know anything. You couldn't judge, but so I purposed in my heart that I will try and endeavor to live a life of integrity. So I'm going to talk about integrity. I have had faults. I have made mistakes. It's not about being perfect, but it's about getting up and correcting yourself and doing the right thing thereafter. Amen? So my topic today is about integrity. So we start. What does it mean when somebody says integrity? Integrity is a state of being honest, firm in your moral principles, a state of being consistent in character and being whole and undivided. So when I was reading about integrity, I got to read about the history of the word, and similar words that have a similar origin with the word of integrity is the word integer. Who knows what an integer is? an integer is a whole word. End up, no. It's a whole number. It's not a fraction. Integral. Integral means necessary and important part of a whole. To integrate is to put things together, to combine. Intact is to be complete, not to be damaged and not to be impaired. Entirety, the whole of something. That those words have the same origin as the word integrity. So integrity is the whole sum of you, who you are as a person, who you are during the day and who you are at night, in the public and in private. What does Sam do when he's before LAT? And what does Sam do when he is alone in the dark at night? Integrity requires us, says that we should be the same. You get it? Even when the environment changes, when I am with Pastor Moses, or when I am with that gentleman who picks rubbish from the office, when I'm with a client who is going to give me a job, or when I'm before my wife in the evening at home, or before my children, I should have the same character. I should be the same. When you have integrity, you're consistent, even when there's a change of environment, even when circumstances change, you are the same. When I was in school, we had a pastor. I think he was a reverend. He was called Laban Bombo. He used to say, character is what you are in the dark. Yeah? Integrity is who you are when no one is looking, when no one is watching, when you are sure you'll never be found out. What will you do? That is what integrity is. So I'm told of a story of my dad when he became the CEO of a consultancy firm. It was Christmas time. A gentleman enters his office with a bag of money. I think at the time, this is about in the 1990s. And my dad didn't tell me the story. It was my mom. Whether she was happy with his actions or not, I don't know. But anyway, so this gentleman walks into the office. It's an Indian guy with a bag of money. Maybe, say, at the time, maybe about 5 million shillings. And he gives it to my dad. And Muse is like, what is it for? No. It's just for you. It's for you. Christmas, wife, eating money, enjoy. And my dad said, no. Then this guy told him, but the one who was here before you used to take the money. And my dad was like, no, this money is not mine. I've not worked for it. Please take it back. And the Indian man left with his bag of money and he went. That is what integrity is. No one was ever going to find out about this money. But in his heart of hearts, he didn't think he deserved this money. And he rejected it. So integrity is the core of who you are as a person. Integrity is a foundation that builds a successful life. Gifts, talents, and skills will take you up. But character is what will keep you up there. Amen? So as LAT in this season that we are in, it is character, humility, that will keep us up there. Amen? So we should build our character and life on integrity. A person of integrity is honest. He is transparent. I run a company with 3 colleagues of mine. yes, there are 3. And one of the ways, if you want to be successful in business, you have to be transparent. And you have to be open, especially on matters to do with finances. Many of our colleagues who have begun businesses together over the years, we have seen companies grow, become big, but later you hear stories that these guys are no longer together. You ask why? Manage into just saying this thing of money. So we have endeavored as business partners to be transparent and honest with each other on the issue of money. So when I get money, I tell my colleagues that, I've gotten 2 million shillings. This is how we are going to split it. We have a group. We're going to give so-and-so this much, so-and-so this much. This much is ours. Thank you, thank you. Being the boss, sometimes I'm inquired of. There was in India the other day, and my colleague. Yeah, in this sermon, I will say brother, father, interchangeably, and partners. I work with my brother. He's a partner with me and my dad. So when I say father, when I say brother, you get it. So anyway, I got a message from my partner. And he said, I've got this much, and we are going to split it like this. Is it okay? I said, it's okay. Yeah, then deposit mine on my account. And that has helped us as a business. So last week, I wasn't around. I traveled to India. So one of those days, we are coming from a mall, and I'm in the car with a senior citizen of in the profession. So we are talking about business. Then he asks me, hey, it's okay. So when you get money on the side, when you get business on the side, do you eat it alone or you declare to Muzei? He knows my dad. My dad taught him. Or you declare to Muzei. And I'm like, you know what we do for us? When I get money, I tell him. And we agree on how to spend the money. The guy was in shock. He's like, eh? Really? And I'm like, yeah, that is how we have what? Managed to go through the past 11 years as a business. So when you are honest, you have integrity. When you are faithful, when you are trustworthy, when you are loyal, when you are consistent, when you say you're going to do something, when you are dependable and reliable, and you are a person of your word, when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And you follow through when you make commitments. When you say you're going to pay fees for somebody, when they come for the fees, don't get angry. Hey, Katoze, eh? You made a commitment. You were alone when you made the commitment and you approached these people. So follow through on your commitments. Be sincere. Your yes should be yes and your no, no. It shouldn't be there and there. And you should tell the truth. There's no half truth. It's either black or white. Yeah? And being a person of integrity doesn't mean that you are perfect. It doesn't mean that you're without sin. It doesn't mean that you're without fault. No. It just means that when you fall or when you make a mistake, you what? You admit, you ask for forgiveness. You make amends for the wrongs you have done. If you have borrowed people's money and you have not paid back, and it's 5 years down the road and you realize, I have not paid this guy his money, you go back and apologize and pay the money. If you must pay an interest, pay the interest as well. Okay? Yes, because they would have made money with that money that you kept. Yeah? So, when we began business in 2011, I used to stay in Bugolobi. And we got an office somewhere in Chitintale. And while we were there, next door were auditors. And you know, there are things that you learn on the job. So I got to know that we had to do books of accounts. We had to get audited. We had to make submissions to URA. So I got these guys. At the time, I was alone. My two colleagues, one of them was doing his master's, the other was still working a job somewhere. So I get these auditors, I tell my colleagues, I've got these guys, like, okay, it's okay. So they audit our books for about 4 years. We'd submit URA, everything was okay. And with the little knowledge of accounting that we had, I thought everything was fine. So a few years down the road, I meet Dennis. We come to LAT. Being the man that he is, sometime there, the man sleeps. And he gets a message from the Lord that we have to get a new auditor, a new accountant for our office. And so the next financial year, we appointed somebody else to do our audits. But the condition this gentleman gave us, what he had to, what they call it a health check. He couldn't just take on the books from that financial year. He said he had to go back 4 or 5 years. So he asks for our books. We give him everything. Over 2011, 2013, 2014, we give him everything. And so the guy does his financial health check. And he realizes that there were some errors that were made. And it's not just about doing health check. You have to now resubmit to URA. Yeah, that these are now, you know, I've done my audits and I think there were mistakes. Here are the new audited books of accounts for the past so many years. And so we decided to go ahead and do it. But we had some financial obligations to the tune of millions and millions of shillings, 100 million plus interest on top of that. So we sat and we were like, what do we do? And the rationale at the time could be, URA will never find this out. I think the law states that you should keep books, I think it's for 5 years. And you're like, let's go through and see, maybe we can do another 5 years and destroy these accounts. But if they came and they wanted to go up to 2011, you have no reason to stop them. You can't even bring the law and tell them that, you know, the law states this. No. So anyway, we decide to make the submissions. And URA computes penalties. It computes what we owed them. And then we decided that we now needed, because we didn't have the money, we didn't have all that money to pay at once. So we told them, and you know when URA has, when you owe a credit, it accrues interest. If you, every month you don't pay, there's a percentage that accrues. So we told them, please hold the system. We are willing to pay. Do not slap us with interest. I don't know if they agreed. But anyway, we had to pay this money. So we agreed a payment plan. And we paid the money. By the grace of God, month after month, we made a payment towards that credit. Every month we made a payment towards that credit. And God is faithful. God is faithful. In less than 2 years, we had finished the payment fully. Amen? And God was faithful. He honored us as a business. And ever since then, we have tried our level best not to manipulate these accounts. We've tried our best to do the right thing, to submit our returns on time. There's what they call VAT, value-added tax. If you're in business, my advice to you is never eat VAT. I'm not saying you should eat any other money, but VAT is money that you're given to give back to government. And if URA ever finds out that you're eating VAT, you're in what? In trouble. You're in trouble. So we try our level best to make our returns on time. On the 15th of every month, whatever is not ours, we give them. Whatever is not ours, we give the government. We don't rationalize ate our road, ate what, ate, things are not happening, hospitals, what, medicine. No. We do our part and let God do the rest. So a person of integrity pays his taxes fully. When you're a person of integrity, you don't cheat exams. When we're on campus, it was the order of the day. Before my days of what? Of salvation, you had to make sure you sit next to a kafulu. He does, you do. He does, you do. That is not a life of integrity. Yeah? Yeah. Don't cheat. Even you young children, when you are doing your PACEs, when you're doing your tests at school, do not cheat. Do the right thing. Whether you come out with a 50, God is happy with that 40 that you have gotten honestly than the 80 that you have got by cheating. It is not good, and God does not like it. Make your returns on time. And I'm talking about business. Then when you receive money that is not yours, please return it. when somebody sends you mobile money mistakenly, don't start spiritualizing the thing. Miracle money, it was a mistake. Send back the money. I tell you what, thank God, I was believing God for what? Money. I was believing God for 100K. Someone sent 200K. God gave me more than I needed. No. It is not your money. If you have to, call that, call back and find out. I've received this money from you. I wasn't expecting money. Who are you? Okay. And when you're sending back, don't start those things. Ngenda kujako what? Withdraw fees or withdraw charges. About what? No. If they've sent you 100K, send back the 100K. Okay? If you have got money by mistake from a shop or from a tailor at the bank, take back the money, you know? Don't start saying things. Tell the truth at all times. A person of integrity keeps time, keeps their appointments. When you say, I'm going to meet you at 1, be there at 1. If you're not able to be there at 1, call and say, you know what? I am held up. I'm not able to come at 1. Can we postpone this meeting to 5? Or I'll be there in about 15 minutes. I am sorry. Okay? Then in work, there's what they call, I don't know if any of you guys feel timesheets on projects. Yeah? There are some government-funded projects. Yeah? And you're required to fill timesheets. And no, I think they're in UN or World Bank. So they would want to know how many hours has Sam spent on this job. And you have a rate per hour. And they get that every month, multiplied by your time, and you get the money that is owed to you. Don't manipulate timesheets to get more money. Put in the time that you are that you have done that month. Okay? Even when there's opportunity to add in a few hours, do not put in those few hours because you have not done the time at the job. Pay your debt. If you owe somebody money, pay them back. If you're delayed on payment, call back and apologize for the delayed payment and tell them why you've not been able to pay and when you're going to pay. Don't just keep quiet and say, he understands. Never is driving a Fortuna. He has no problems. He has a big house. No. You borrowed money and promised to pay it back. Endeavor to pay back your debt. Amen? Yeah. Let's look at the life of Daniel. Oh, just a minute. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17 says, this is David saying, I know also, my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness. In my version, it says, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and delight in uprightness and integrity. The Lord delights in integrity. And integrity is not things, it's most of the time, it is the things that you do in private. The Lord looks at your heart, he looks and judges the attitudes of your heart. Why have you done what you have done? Amen? And God delights in integrity, as we have seen in that scripture. Let us look at Daniel, an example of people who have lived a life of integrity. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Okay. So, it says, Daniel, it pleased the king, Darius, the successor of that guy, Belshazzar, to set over the kingdom 120 stirrups who should be in charge throughout the kingdom. And over them, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might give account to them and that the king should have no loss or damage. Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps because of an excellent spirit that was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find occasion or bring accusation against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no occasion or fault, for he was faithful. Another version says, for he was honest and he was a man of integrity. Nor was there any error found in him. That was Daniel. Let's put it in today's context. A few years ago, I was selected to go and do a certain job. And we had to be vetted by SFC, ISO, or DISO, all those people. So I was called to a certain place. And ISO is Internal Security Organization. I see Esther asking the husband. So I was called for vetting. I went somewhere. They gave me about 6 sheets to fill out. What's your name? Where did you go to school? What primary? Secondary? University? Where do you work? What is your wife's name? What are her parents' names? What are her siblings' names? Who are your siblings? Who is your father? What did he do? Is he educated? Your mother, where is she from? What are their needs? All that. Who are your friends? Give us 2 of them. Where do they stay? Eh? Okay. Then they asked, what is your email? Are you on social media? If yes, give us your accounts. Twitter, what? Hmm? Phone records. Da-da-da-da-da. So I submitted the documents. Then later, about a month later, I'm called to Quality. I think, what's the restaurant there? Caramel. A gentleman calls me. My name is Huaba. I'm the DSO of where? Come and meet me. I have your papers here. So I go to this gentleman's. I go. Of course, I buy him tea, breakfast. So, so you're who? Okay. So do you have any social media accounts? I said, no. I'm only on WhatsApp. Even what? No. Okay. So you are an engineer. Okay, what do you like about engineering? Why did you do engineering? How many years have you been in business? You're wasting time with this guy, but the guy, you have to be there. Okay. Then it's like, okay. Hey, engineer is okay. You can go. Then you go. For my colleague, when he was also being vetted, they even went to the village to change your job. So the LC one calls my dad and said, in Rutoro. I can't say it in Rutoro, but anyway, there are people here who are asking about Mtabanwa Mgisa. What's his empako? Adiedi. Hey, they're asking about Adiedi here, asking where he's coming from. They've come to see me. So, that is in our life today. The same happened to Daniel. Yeah? So if they were looking for me in that time, they'd look for my accounts, my audited books of accounts for the past 10 years. Yeah? Are they okay? They'd look at my social media accounts. They'd look at my emails. They'd look at my bank accounts, my phone records, my loan repayment plans, if I have any loans, my mobile money transactions. How am I dating with my family? How is my work? What are my relationships like? How am I dating with Dennis? How am I dating with Pastor? They did all that, and they found nothing when it came to Daniel. What is it for you and I? When they search you out, midnight hour, 2 a.m., when you're alone. You know, when we travel, one of the things that people say as you embark from the plane, if, say, you've arrived where? You've arrived in Delhi. I was in Delhi. One of the things that they say is, what happens in Delhi stays in Delhi. So, if you're some embarking on the plane and there's a commitment that what happens in Delhi stays in Delhi, what are you going to do that 1 week when you're in Delhi? Yeah? That is what integrity is. So, Daniel was searched and found with nothing. They had nothing to charge him on. And they said, let us go and charge him on issues to do with his God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke 23:4 and in 23:14, no wrong was found in him. Yeah, Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man. Pilate said it twice, even in 14, I think it's there. You have brought this man to me as one who misled the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him of. Is that what is going to be said about you and I? When they put your life bare, will they find no wrong? And God, like we have seen, delights in integrity. So let us endeavor to live a life that is worthy of God's approval. Let us live a life, even in secret, that God will say, that is my child. He does what is right. Like he said for Job. Yeah? David, in Psalm 78, verse 72, it says, David shepherded Israel according to the integrity of his heart. And in 1 Kings 9:4, it says that David walked in integrity. So, how do we maintain and walk in integrity? Psalm 101, verse 2 to 3. David says, I will behave myself wisely and give heed to the blameless way. O, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house in integrity and with a blameless heart. I will set no base or wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the works of them who turn aside from the right path. It shall not grasp hold of me. He says that I will walk in integrity within my house. There's a common saying that charity begins at home. So David made a deliberate decision that he will walk in integrity, starting from his house. We should submit to God daily and decide daily to walk uprightly. Determined to always tell the truth, regardless of the consequences. There are consequences for walking in integrity. There's this time we're doing work, and the kind of work I do, there's what they call a bills of quantities. So you put quantities on the items that they are going to use on a project. So for example, the number of pipes, the number of cables, the length of cables, the generator. So you go through and you can tell your client that regarding the electrical and mechanical works of this project, which is the pipe work, the sanitary fittings, the generator, the lighting, the cost of these products will be this much. So we're doing this project and we are working with all kinds of people, all manner of people. And in a crowd, if you're trying to do the right thing, if you're trying to walk in integrity, it's a narrow path. You find yourself, you may be alone, or there are two people in a crowd of 100. So we are approached by some officials, and they say that, you know, this thing here, we can eat some money. Why don't we? No one will find out. Instead of 1 billion, let it be 3 billion shillings. And say, hey, engineer, you know what's going to happen? When I get that money, I'll give it to you. And you decide how you're going to split it. It is in your docket. You know, at that moment, you go back. You leave town. You leave Cafe Java's. You don't know how you get to Ntinda. you're thinking plots, you're thinking what? By just going on your computer and saying 3, and you write a letter, and you sign off, and you stamp, you will be a billionaire. They'll give you money to split. And so I go to office, I tell my colleague, we sit together. He's like, okay, what do we do? So I get my things, the next day I call the project manager, I tell him, you know what, this is happening. So I tell him, Nemu Somera, I tell you know what, these guys are telling us to do this thing, are not part of the project. If this thing goes through, and there's ever an audit, it is you and me who are going to go down. And we are small fish. This when they're looking for people to put on the front page, my friend, you and I, we know nobody. What? Up there. You're not a Muhima, you're not what, you're not, you know. You're a small fish, and we shall be taken down. So, the guy's like, engineer, Nkulaba, I think what you're saying is right. So I leave, and we go and draft the letter. And this kind of, when you're doing work with government, it's important that you take a letter and get a received stamp. I told the lady who was delivering this letter that, you know, when you go, make sure that it's received. And you what? We file it. So we wrote our letter. It was received. Information reached the big people that these young engineers have refused. In the evening, I get many phone calls. Igwe, it's okay, Bichi. Eh? You're not going to work. You're going to die poor. We even had a recording. Hey, you're going to die poor. How can you? This thing, it was my deal. Now you're going. At first, it was me going to that to distribute the money. Now the guy is saying, "Deal. It was my deal. Now you have entered the thing. Hey, I can't work with you again. I'm not going to work with you again." So there was another job that we were supposed to do with the same team. And he's like, "This one, I'm going to take you off the job." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. We are done the designs. We've done everything." So a few days later, I'm called by the project manager. Because he was the same. And like, "Munang, manye chibadeo." This guy, I said, is taking you off. That is what it means. So later I'm told that he was in the meeting now with the director of the second job. And he said, "No, you know, I've worked with IMK and they're not professional people. They don't know what they're doing and we cannot continue with them on this job." That was the only way he was going to get us off the job, if he went technical. So the director was being advised by government that we didn't know what we were doing. So we're taken off the job. But you know, it's God's report that matters, not the report of man. Amen? Yeah. So make a deliberate decision to walk in integrity. Build relationships with people of integrity. Bad company corrupts good morals. Psalms 26, 4 to 5. I don't know. Anyway, we can read it in your free time. Mind the things that you watch. Because what you watch and listen to is also part of your company. Okay? So build relationships with people that walk in integrity, like-minded people. Someone says that if you are lying around with dogs, you'll also be attacked by fleas. Don't be fooled that for you are up high up there. You cannot falter. Be strong when under attack. When you're walking this narrow road of integrity, you will definitely be attacked. I'm sure all of us on our journeys have had challenges. Christine has had a challenge. Dennis has also had his challenges. All of us have had our challenges. I don't know your personal stories, but there's an attack that will come. Like you know in the story of Daniel, and his friends, there's the den, there's the fire. But you need to stand strong in the face of attack. When the fire comes, know what you have believed, know what your convictions are, and what? And stand strong. The Lord will come through for you. He will vindicate you in due time. Do not fear, but trust in God. The Bible says that the fear of man brings a snare. If you fear man, it will be difficult to walk a life of integrity. What does so-and-so think? What will so-and-so think? If I was concerned about what my colleagues would say, I would have accepted to go through with that deal. And you know what happens? These guys are thieves. They are wolves. They have a guy will get 1.5 billion and call you and give you 5 ma. And say, "Manny, it's okay. The people were many." The people were many. There were many. I had to give so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. This is what is yours. You go and, hey, we shall see the next one. But your name is the one that signed off that money. When you are before papers, you will not tell people, "I won't come to church and say that, you know, of this 1.5 billion, I got 5 million. Although it's not the right thing. You shouldn't, even the 5 billion, the 5M is not yours. But no one will believe that you can sign off on 1.5 billion and get only 5 ma. But these guys, because you don't know whom you're interacting with, the guy goes, picks the money in his sack, then he calls you on a Saturday, early in the night, and what? That is it. And you don't know who has got money, you don't know, but, so we should, anyway, back to where we are. The iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Let's look at Hebrews 10:24. "And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we can stir up one another to love and helpful deeds and noble activities." Let us be active and stir each other to do the right thing. When I come to you, when I was having this challenge, I went to Dennis and I told him, "Anye Chiribo, this thing is hot on the hill." This thing is hot. There are people who are telling us to do this. And sometimes you actually know the right thing, but you need somebody to voice it for you again and actually confirm what your conviction is. And then you go with your head up high and you say, "You know what? I'm going to follow through with it." So it was one marriage fellowship, I think. I stayed at Dennis's place and we talked about it in detail. And I was sharpened to do the right thing. And I went ahead and did the right thing. And when I wrote the letter, I sent him a copy of the letter and I said, "You know what, boss? The letter is here. Do with it as you please. If they ever steal my phone and things come up, please, you can also send it to New Vision." And say, "But this man, what they are saying is not true." So, yeah. Confess your shortcomings and make amends for your mistakes. When you've made a mistake, as a person who is living uprightly, say sorry. You know, go back to the people you've wronged and tell them what you did. If you've told a lie, go back and say, "You know what, last time when we talked about this thing, I didn't tell you the truth. No, many this and this happened, and I wasn't 100% honest, but this is the truth." And when you practice those things, slowly, when you're deliberate on your decisions, when you build the right relationships, when you are strong in your convictions and you're ready to stand under the fire, and you do not fear man, and you're accountable, and you know that you make mistakes and you are ready to own up to your mistakes, you will slowly by slowly build on your life of integrity. We shall look at some of the benefits of integrity. When I was going to preach, my people there, they are all here. Hey, Mans is also here. I want to see what his father is going to say. I don't know if he's impressed. Are you impressed? So they were like, "Daddy, won't you finish in 15 minutes? I am a person of few words. Yeah, I'm looking at my watch. I have done 30. Yeah, okay. But I'm closing. I'm about to finish. Benefits of living a life of integrity. Let's look at Proverbs 2:7. Okay. He hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it for the righteous. Those who are upright in right standing with him, he is a shield, yes. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity. When you walk in integrity, the Lord will protect you. There will always be a shield around you. Amen? In your free time, you can read Proverbs 10:9 and Psalms 2:21. The Lord is a shield to you when you walk in integrity. Let's look at Psalms 15, verse 1 to 5. When you walk in integrity, you will have an intimate and good relationship with God. Okay, let's look at Psalms 15, verse 1 to 5. It says, Lord, who shall dwell temporarily in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell permanently on the hill? He who walks and lives uprightly and blamelessly. He who works righteousness and justice and speaks and thinks the truth in his heart. In another version, it says, he who walks in integrity. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his friends, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person he despises, but he who honors those who fear the Lord. Verse 5, he does not put out his money for interest. I think in those days, interest was not allowed to be charged. And he will not take a bribe against the innocent. I think we've looked at that. Yeah, as a person of integrity, you don't take a bribe and you do not bribe. In Kampala today, I think it's difficult to go through many offices without kin to kidogo. Yeah, I will go off the benefits a bit and tell you a small story. So that uncle of mine is living Zimbabwe or Zambia? Zambia. Was it Zimbabwe? Yeah, and he had two cars. And I think there's a law in the tax law that when you have bought, when you're working as an expatriate or you're a student, and you buy property, you can bring it back and you'll not be charged tax if you have evidence that it was yours. So he brings his cars. One car was in his name, the other car was in the wife's name. And he goes to URA. Documents are here. It was supposed to be a straightforward thing. But because the guy could not release money under the table, it took about 7 months to get his car. Then they start. Now he goes back. Now my wife's car. But you already got your car. But my wife bought her car. And good enough, it was in her names. Like, but your car is here. Then the process started again. And he decided that he will not bribe. And because he did not bribe, the process took long. Sometimes the systems in this place are in such a way that if you do not put in money, things will not move. I don't know how you do it. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing your things. But God requires us not to take a bribe and not to give bribes. Amen? So let's go back to the benefits of what? Integrity. So it says here that you will have an intimate relationship with God. The caption on this verse, the character of those who dwell with the Lord, is the NKJV caption for Psalms 15, verses 1 to 5. You will have an intimate and good relationship with God. You know, when you do wrong things in private, it's only you and God who knows. Nobody else will know. But now when you go before him in prayer and you have this thing and God requires you to make amends and you don't, you will always go back in his presence. You know this thing is there. So if you're going to have an intimate and honest relationship with God, you must live a life of integrity. Psalms 21:6, the Lord will vindicate you. When you walk in integrity, you will be vindicated. You will be vindicated and he'll clear you of any blame. Psalm 26 verse 1. Yeah. You can approach God and negotiate with him. David says, vindicate me because I have lived a life of integrity. You can read that when you are in your free time. Vindicate me, O Lord. Yeah. So you can reason with God. When you know that you are doing the right thing, God will vindicate you. In due course, he will vindicate you. When you walk in integrity, the Lord will endeavor to keep you from sinning. Let us see chapter 20, verse 3 to 6. Okay. This is the story of Abraham and Abimelech. So Abraham lies about his wife, Sarah. And then in verse 3, God appears to Abimelech and says, indeed, you are a dead man, because the woman whom you have taken for is a wife to that to another. Okay, the woman whom you have taken, for she is a wife to this man. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this thing. So Abimelech agreed with what Abraham was saying, that this lady, this beautiful lady, was actually a sister to Abraham. And I think, being a king, he was allowed to get any woman he wanted. And then God said to him in that dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. So God looked at Abimelech's heart. And God says, very importantly for us, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. So when you walk in integrity, God can keep you from doing a wrong thing. Let's look at a scenario. So if somebody came to me one evening, I'm at office, he has a stack of money, and he comes to me and says, Sam, you know, these people who keep money in their ceilings, they keep money in their ceilings under their bed. The guy has just paid me. It is, the banks are closed. Mobile money cannot deposit this money on my account. He knows that I have a safe in office, and he gives me the money. It's, let's say, $100,000. Keep it for me. And and you know what? This deal was good. 20% is yours. And you know this guy, he's your friend. You don't have any issue with him. You trust him 100%. You're like, okay. Yeah, knowing that the wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred to the righteous, you start, it's evening, you rationalize things. You're like, okay, let me keep the money. But later, maybe one day later, before you spend your 20%, your 20K, you start promising trips. You say, well, sweetie, we are going. Where is the passport? Before you start whatevering, passports, tickets, children, what? When is half term? And you spend this money, you cannot refund it. So Dennis comes to you and says, Omanyi, last night when I slept, I saw you arrayed before police. And they said you had what? You had hidden money. You know in your heart what he's talking about. And you're like, hey. So, and you're like, you know what? In that way, the Lord has kept you from what? From sinning. He has revealed that this money that you're keeping is what? Is actually not good money. It's dirty money, and it is not for you. Amen? And the Lord can protect you in such a way. And it's like, and what do you do in that case when you know about it? You go and return the guy his money. Because when the papers come out, they will say, this man, data comes, it's okay, kept the money, and you become an accomplice to a crime, you know? And innocently, you didn't know about. But when God knows the attitudes of your heart, he will what? He will protect you from sinning. Amen? Other benefits of integrity. You will always have a clear conscience. You will not have to look over your shoulder. Those days when I was younger, I was a bit stubborn. Every time my dad called me, I'm like, now what? What, what is he going to tell me? And you're like, now what have I done? Now what? But when you have a clear conscience, you will sleep soundly and you'll have no issues. You'll not run. You know, they say the guilty run before they are chased. You're always on your heels, you know? And when you live a life of integrity, you will always have a record of an exemplary character. It has always been known that Sam, that Andrew, that Bruce has a good and exemplary character. You'll always be a model. People will say, why don't you be like so-and-so? And that's a good thing to what? That's a good record to have. And then you will inherit a good legacy. The people who will live after you, your children, your grandchildren, will always talk about their grandfather who lived a life of integrity. And when you live a life of integrity, you will finish well. It will be said of you that you fought a good fight. It will not just be a rhetoric that he fought a good fight, he finished his race, he kept the faith. No, when you live an honest life and people are talking about you, they will actually be telling the truth, that you fought a good fight, you finished the race, and you kept the faith. When you walk in integrity and you finish your life and the Lord calls you and you go into glory, you will finish well. Amen. And it's my desire that we all finish well. Amen. Yeah. Then somewhere, I forget where the scripture is, it says that your children will be blessed. It's somewhere in Proverbs. When you live a life of integrity, your children will be blessed after you. Yeah. So, it's that one. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Proverbs 20 verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. Blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable are his children after him. Amen. That is the legacy of your children if you walk in integrity. They'll be envied. They'll be like, oh, wow, those children were lucky to have a father like that. Yeah? And they'll be blessed because you honored God and walked in integrity. So let's open Titus chapter 2. We shall read two versions as I close. Titus chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. We shall read NKJV first. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good work, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Let's also get the amplified version as I close. So that is what we are called to do. So it is required of us to be faithful. It's required of us to walk a life of integrity. Cultivate integrity, especially in private, because God will reward you publicly for the things that you do privately. Amen? So we shall read Titus chapter 2, verses 6 to 8 as I close. In a similar way, urge the younger men to be self-restrained, to behave prudently, take life seriously, and show your own self in all respect to be a pattern and a model of good deeds and works, teaching what is unadulterated, showing gravity, having strict regard for the truth and purity of motive with dignity and seriousness. That is what we are called to do, brothers and sisters. And my charge to you all is to endeavor to live a life that is worthy of God's commendation, because he sees everything you do in private. I hope you've been blessed. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.